previously on We Live Here.
This was a place that I'd never been to.
The American dream.
In between kindergarten and 12th grade, I'd moved around St. Louis 21 times.
Hey everyone, it's me, Camille.
And me, Tim.
And I don't know if we've ever dropped this little tidbit before, but Tim and I are kind of, we're a couple of house geeks.
I mean, speak for yourself. I am a house geek. It's true, we are. We're not just house geeks, though. We should say we're old house geeks.
Old house geeks.
Yes.
And
I mean, like, we like old houses.
We're not old. Yes. Yeah.
We won't do
point taken.
We won't go into our ages.
So anyway, like, probably a lot of you guys out there, we get a little giddy when it comes to, you know, like the house hunting thing. It can be fun to look at different types of houses, the architecture, seeing how people decorate, all that stuff.
I mean, there's got to be a reason for all those, you know, the real estate websites.
House Hunters.
Oh, man. Don't even get me started.
Yeah, that show.
And
that
why is it always the middle house?
Yes. One,
like,
two,
just mix
or three.
It,
yes.
Mix it up.
Yeah.
Anyway. We got to get to the show.
Anyway, a few months back, we were hanging with a young guy here in St. Louis who also shares this passion for houses. Except the inventory he's interested in probably wouldn't occur to many would-be homeowners.
El Torian Hawkins spends his days scoping out St. Louis's thousands of abandoned and vacant properties, and trying to convince people to give those properties a second chance.
But doing that involves some prep.
I always come in like 30 minutes before they come just so I can check things out, make sure the house is still there, first of all. Make sure that no rodents, no dead bodies, no whatever else. whatever else come with vacant houses. So I always do an exterior walk around. Make sure it's safe. That's why I tell people when they come to wear boots. As you see, it's glass, beer bottles, tires, and there's kids playing right across from it. So that just lets you know how damaging a vacant house can be on a community.
The community he's talking about is not abstract. This is El Torian's neighborhood.
This is Walnut Park West. And it is the 27th Ward.
Walnut Park West is another one of these pockets in St. Louis that was a magnet for working and middle-class black families. It's in the northwest tip of the city and butts right up to the county line. And it's changed a lot in the past two decades.
Now that I'm getting older and I'm nothing but 24, I can see the difference between how these kids can't like ride a bike in a street because people just run them over and keep going. That's just reality.
It's a reality El Torian sees a lot clearer now, especially as he raises a daughter.
I never, as a child, noticed the vacant houses as I do now.
Were they there?
They was there. They was, because when I found out the history of some of the houses on my very own street I was raised up, they was like, yeah, that house been vacant ever since. And I was like, you're right. It had been vacant. I never seen nobody come out of that house. I never seen nobody. It was always trashy. It was always, and I'm not going to lie, as a child, I would know which houses to throw trash on. Now, my mom, I got a hang of it early that, you know, not to throw trash down, but because my mom was very strict about that. But if I was trying to fit in with the crowd or something like that, I wouldn't know which houses to throw trash on. These kids nowadays, they know everything.
Not exactly everything, and especially not why a woman with headphones and a giant fuzzy mic is hanging around in their neighborhood, which is why before too long, those kids pause in their playing to check us out.
What are y'all talking about?
We're talking about this house.
Oh, I want to be on the top. I want to be on the top. I want to say some words.
What do you want to say?
Y'all wanna tell her what you guys think about this house?
What do you think about this house?
I think this house is beat up, it has no potential, and it should not be fixed. And the city should destroy this house.
Why do you think it should be destroyed?
Cause.
You don't think anybody could come fix it up?
No, it's not worth it.
Sentiments like these sting, El Torian says. Especially from someone so young.
It's just sad to hear his decision. I believe it has no hope. So you put that in reference of what they think about their future. their community, period. Oh, it just has no hope. That's dramatic. That's pretty significant.
It is pretty significant, but that doesn't mean it can't change.
Which is why, for the past few years, El Torreón has transformed from a college student in search of a career to a young entrepreneur who will tell anyone who'll listen that his main goal now is working for the community.
On today's show, we hear his story about one young man trying to change the perception and reality of his neighborhood and his city, one block at a time.
From St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here, a show for people somewhere on the woke spectrum.
It won't come as a surprise that vacancy is a big problem here in a Rust Belt metropolis like St. Louis.
I mean, all the ingredients are here, or have been here. Dramatic population loss, a sluggish economy, entrenched segregation, flight to the suburbs. I mean, we can go on.
We could. And to deal with all these abandoned lands and buildings, many cities establish land banks. Basically a big old collection of land, usually held by a local government organization that's held for future development.
St. Louis has one of these land banks, and it's pretty big. Not the biggest in the country, but it is the oldest, set up back in 1971. It's called the St. Louis Land Reutilization Authority, which is a mouthful.
I couldn't say it.
That's why I took that line. And as it stands, officials say there are about, get this, 12,000 parcels in that inventory.
A little more than 3,000 of those parcels are buildings. The rest is vacant land and a couple of cemeteries.
None of these, of course, are generating tax revenue, and that's a big problem for the city.
Mm-hmm. But at the neighborhood level, the vacancy often comes hand in hand with other issues, crime, lower property values, disinvestment, which is why El Torreón is so concerned about vacant houses in his neighborhood.
I think we have 300 vacant parcels in on 27 Ward alone. That's if it haven't went up. Last time I checked, it was 300. So that's vacant lot and houses. I think out of those vacant lots, out of that 300, it was 140-some vacant houses. So this is one, and then there's three other ones on that next street I'm going to show him.
Him is a tall, lanky college student named Malik Simmons, who grew up across the Mississippi in a small town called Cahokia, Illinois.
Well, my uncle was up in real estate heavy.
He heard about El Torreón from a mentor at Harris Stowe University.
So, and I'm doing accounting with emphasis on entrepreneurship, so I just want to be a long-term wealth for my family.
Malik is hoping the house El Torreón is showing us could be the start of that wealth.
This is it. So this is 5716 Floyd. This is a one-story brick single family. What you see, don't let it scare you away, because I've bought three of them and done them. What you see, the trash, the damage, don't let it be too overwhelming, because it can be done. Trust me, it can be. I'm gonna start from the front, on back. So, I don't know if you've ever been in a house that caught fire before. Well, this didn't catch fire, but what happened was the smoke got in here. This is nothing but smoke damage. Nothing but smoke damage. So what you do, you will get a clean crew. I never done it myself, but I know companies that do it. They'll come in and spray these walls with some type of special stuff, and that black stuff will just fall right off. As you see, that's a small leak on the roof. But the whole entire roof is no damage, so that can be like a patch job, like a $100 patch job or something like that. Or if you want to, you can replace the whole roof. But a roof on a size house like this typically is about $3,000. I look at things like it still has all the original hardwood around the windows, and the doors are original wood. People pay thousands of dollars to have their house put original wood into it. Some people come in and steal wood from these houses and steal the doors to put in their houses, because people love the original wood. Like a cherry oak. I think it's made out of oak. There's a bathroom. It's going to be in every single house we go in. They're going to rip it out because it's cast iron. Right. and they take the cast iron and they scrap it for money. Surprised they didn't take the tub, because sometimes it's made out of iron and they take the tub. But as you see, it still has the towel. What would I do with this bathroom? I will clean it up, of course. I'll take that wallpaper out. I will leave that tub and I will have it refurbished. You can have a tub refurbished. Of course, new plumbing, new vanity, new toilet, new vanity. Most damage on these houses are done to after the house become vacant. If people didn't go in and steal the pipes and do the damage, these houses will actually be beautiful on the inside also. People just go in and destroy them though. The house period was nice. I mean, that fire killed it. The smoke did. But the house is still very nice compared to how I see some people living or what people buy with their money.
The soft-spoken 20-year-old doesn't need too much convincing.
What do you think of the house?
I love it.
Do you?
Yeah, I like this one.
But I mean, you guys know where this is going.
This is house tour.
So we were talking about this at the top of the show. You got to see three.
At least three.
We got two more around the corner. Well, we got like four more around.
El Torreon packs up and we move on.
We take a shortcut through an alley, hop a fence, and suddenly we're on a street that looks completely different.
So I don't know what type of flight went on here, but a flight would happen. And what I mean by that is this house, and the house next to it went vacant in the same year. Why? I don't know. I don't know if older people lived in it and they just all died at the same time. I don't know if they moved out at the same time. It happened.
But there is tiny signs of rejuvenation.
El Torreon points to a house that's seen some recent activity.
The one with the tarp, the one they working on.
This, El Torreon says, is a Finest 15 house.
So can you explain what Finest 15 is?
Finest 15, so we are volunteer organization. We come through SLACO.
SLACO stands for the St. Louis Association of Community Organizations. It's a coalition of neighborhood associations across the metro area.
I joined the LRA subcommittee because that's what I knew so much about. LRA subcommittee was meeting through the year. We came up with the Finest 15. So the Finest 15 decided, how can we as volunteers help neighborhoods sell houses? How can we better LRA? First we started off, how can we better the LRA process? Because we heard all this turmoil and bad information about how bad the LRA process was. Once we decided that there was a bridge broken between the community and LRA, it was just there, just like the police in the community. It was just broken. People didn't want to deal with them. People didn't want to. So we said, fine, let's help them sell these houses. Let's help them build this bridge back together. So we go around into the neighborhoods and we pick 15 of the best houses that LRA is currently selling in their neighborhood.
El Torreon and his Finest 15 committee members do more than just advertise the homes.
We kind of like hold their hand. We let them know how much the house will probably take, how much damage has been done, how vacant it's been. And we bring banks, we bring financial literacy and things like that. And we just lay them out and talk about, you know, give knowledge. And then I give a presentation on before and after on how I do. So that's what the Finest 15 is.
And these Finest 15 workshops, which have been held across the city in the past year, are really popular.
Good morning, everyone. If I could ask everyone to please silence your cell phones so that way...
On a recent rainy Saturday, more than 100 people filed into a local technical school gym about 5 miles south of Walnut Park West in Lewis Place. Lewis Place is a North St. Louis neighborhood that was the site of Black residents' early fights to eliminate restrictive covenants.
So once again, good morning. My name is Angela Drake. I am a member of the SLACO LRA committee. I also serve as secretary on SLACO's executive.
The crowd listens intently as a parade of professionals gives an overview of the home buying process, because there are some quirks with buying an LRA property. There are pitfalls and there are special incentives. And at the end, they hear from a real person who's done all of this successfully, El Torreon.
How everybody doing today?
All right.
So today, my job is to send you off for success in order to know what to do when buying these LRA homes. So as she said, I bought
three LRA homes myself.
El Torian does skip over some parts of his journey, like how a few years ago when he entered Harris Stowe University, the historically black university in town, he was studying criminal justice, and how after deciding against a career in law enforcement, he had to find a new path, especially after becoming a father. And how after deciding that, he figured he'd give real estate a try, drawing on lessons he learned from other family members who'd owned rental property. And finally, how he decided that his next best opportunity was right in his own neighborhood. In fact, literally with the house next door.
And the reason I bought into that neighborhood because I was born and raised on Shelton. So when I first bought my property, it was for income reasons. But once I bought it, it changed the way I felt about property and the way I viewed the city of St. Louis, and it just made me have some sense of entitlement. So my purpose has changed. So now I'm constantly buying houses because I want to reshape the neighborhood. I want to eventually make a better neighborhood for my kids to be raised in.
Laura Costello is head of real estate for the St. Louis Development Corporation, which includes the LRA. That's the big land bank in St. Louis. And she says there's a simple explanation for why these workshops are so popular.
El Torian is something else. He and Angela have so much energy. He gets the word out to all levels of people, from couples, retired couples, young people, et cetera. He gets the word out that this is doable. You can own your own home. And he does. He's beaten the path 7 days a week.
El Torian's approach, Laura says, is working. In the past year, Finest 15 has identified 50 LRA homes. More than 30 of them have been sold or in the process of being sold to new homeowners.
LRA is the owner of last resort. No one else wanted these properties. They come into our inventory, and our mission is to get them back out. And Slaco and El Torian have been helping us do that. If there were an El Torian in every neighborhood, we'd be a better city.
But not everyone is so convinced.
And we'll bring you that part of the story next. Because with a problem as big as vacancy, there's bound to be differences about how people want to fix it.
And people have to understand, all ideas are not good ideas.
El Torian isn't the only champion of eradicating vacant housing in his neighborhood.
Hi, my name is Pam Boyd, and I'm the alderwoman for the 27th Ward.
And though Boyd is a first-time elected official, she's done community work in her ward for many years.
Well, when I was elected in April 2017, my first order of business was to bring people in the community together to hear what their input was in regards to issues that were out there in the community. And one of the issues were vacant properties, LRA properties, and absentee owners.
Boyd says many homeowners here were targeted for subprime and shady loans. And as seniors have died, houses go unclaimed, taxes go unpaid, and the LRA consumes all of that property.
So we created a housing committee because we're trying to attract younger people into our ward. And so we're looking to see how we can kind of change the dynamics within the ward in regards to like townhouses, lofts. And a lot of young people don't want the little house with the white picket fence because their lives are very busy. And the residents understand that. But they want the people in the ward to rebuild the ward.
When I asked Boyd if she knew of El Torian and his efforts, she said no. But she is very familiar with the Finest 15 program. She's not a fan.
And I've talked to Laura Costello with LRA in regards to the Finest 15, and I did tell them my concerns in regards to that property. I have residents now, for example, I had one resident that bought one of those homes, and then he called and said, well, can you help me because the house has asbestos in it.
Boyd says she's concerned people aren't educated enough or just aren't following LRA's rules. She also thinks part of the problem is LRA's eagerness to get properties back on the tax rolls.
And so my concern was what I told Laura was, It's not where you could just buy that property for $1,000 and paint it and move in. It has to be inspected through the city to ensure that you follow all the guidelines. We have some people that are moving in those properties, haven't even had them inspected. Or we have people that have bought the properties and don't even live in the properties. And so that's not solving the problem, that's causing more of a problem. And so when I have people that's calling me for assistance to help them to get the properties up to par, that's sending a red flag to me.
Boyd says she's working with a group of residents who are tackling vacancy from another angle. They worked with the city and another organization to demolish 30 wood frame homes beyond repair. Another 30 are waiting to be torn down, and 30 more near a park will be targeted for renovation. Many are LRA homes, Boyd says.
And people have to understand, all ideas are not good ideas. Because if you just give somebody something, don't educate them, that's an issue to me. Because at the end of the day, now I'm concerned about you and your family's safety in this property. And that's all I need for something to happen, God forbid, and they got one of those properties.
Have you been to one of the family, the Finest 15 workshops? And
mm-hmm. I've been to it.
And what do you think about them?
They fun. They a lot of fun. But I need to be people be more serious. And Laura Costello and I have had those conversations about that.
Boyd says she's not opposed to redevelopment in her neighborhood, but she's a little wary of speculators who, she says, have taken an interest in the area because of the cost of entry. It's so low. And she says she's not sure someone as young as El Torreon has the education or experience to navigate all this stuff.
And as this young man that you call, you name, as young as he is, my question is he as educated as he should be in buying a property? When a person in their 30s purchases a property, that's a learning experience for them because of what you have to go through. And so what I told LRA, I know you're trying to get properties off your books, but don't use my ward to do that.
And yet, even though they may be approaching the same issues from different ends, Boyd and El Torreon's passion for the community seems to run pretty parallel.
And just think about it. You have people that have lived over there for 50, 60 years. And that's why I tell people, especially the media, you think people want to live in drug-infested, killing. They don't want to live that way. They want to be in a clean, quiet neighborhood. And so now they're in an uproar. They're fighting for it. They said, we deserve this. We don't have to move to the county. We can stay where we are. Twin Sand Ward is 15 minutes from anywhere. I tell people all the time, you have a gold mine that you're living in. Because people are tired of coming from St. Peter, St. Charles, O'Fallon to go to work. Just think if they lived where we live, they could catch the bus. They wouldn't even have to drive that car. And so we're a benefit package. And I tell my residents, don't sell your property, sit on it, because it's a gold mine.
El Torreon isn't under any illusions that the work he's doing in his neighborhood will make a change quickly or that it'll be easy, which is a bit of the advice he gave Malik at the end of his house tour.
What you think? Your first successful vegan house tours.
Bad decision.
Spider wheels all on you. Welcome to the club. So you let that marinate, but like I tell everybody else, I don't hold back for nobody. So if someone else to ask to come see these houses, they will be showed the same thing, and you know, it's first come, first serve.
That last part seems to prod Malik. He's been quiet for much of the afternoon, but gets more contemplative as things wind down.
What are you thinking?
Which one I want?
Is there one that you like the best?
That's a hard one, because it's the brick one and this one. whatever type of St. Louis food.
The brick one or one of these.
By the time we get back on Floyd Avenue, Malik makes his announcement.
Oh, that one for sure.
The first one? The brick one?
Yeah.
Like the brick one.
El Torian repeats the price, $1,000, and that, under LRA rules, someone has 18 months to show progress on the property before the organization will consider repossessing the property.
But he cautions Malik, it's a serious decision.
Well, I didn't hear it so many times, like, yeah, I'm gonna get on that, I'm gonna get that, I'm gonna buy it, but you turn around, look around, and the house still there, and they be like, what happened, you buying that one? Well, you know, yeah.
As long as I show progress in them, I can sit on them while I'm in college.
Yeah, you can sit on them. Like I said, I was 2012. I bought my first, I think I was a sophomore. Because I started in 11, so. Mm. But yeah, I was a full-time father and a full-time dad when I first started. So not only was I was busy, but I was broke as hell. Broke, no money. I broke it off section by section, room by room. And that's how I got started. I'm like, damn, is this easy? To bring not only to own property, but to bring a way to bring back the neighborhood. So, yeah, that's how I got involved.
He also tells the young man not to expect that everyone will be on board with his decision.
People gonna look at you as an outsider, especially you. People gonna see you as coming in and destroying the neighborhood because you're not from here. People gonna think you're coming in here just for the investment. You could tell you got some neighbors, some older neighbors, just by their houses. You know, you got a Crown Vic here, you got, this is a very nice house. You can tell somebody old live there. Not to be biased, but. So they gonna be looking at you. And they gonna be like, you know, they gonna be looking at you like, oh, he didn't bought this house. I wonder what he about to do with this. Or I wonder what hoodlums he about to move in his house. Just wave at them and ask them, what can I do for you? And you let them, and they'll never hide no information. Like, yeah, I bought this house from the city, and I plan on doing this, and I go to school. Let them know everything about you, you know. You don't want to be no closed book, because then that's when they be like, I don't know who he is. They can't never say they don't know who you is. Just let them know everything. Anytime somebody asks something, let them know, yeah, I bought this house for $1,000. Because first of all, they know, oh, you bought this house? They know you ain't got no money. Oh, man. I'm struggling just like, yeah, I just bought a house for $1,000. That was it. Yeah. I'm an ordinary citizen, man. You want to buy one, I know somebody that can hook you up. You pass them my number. Once you make that decision, commit to it and go full force. And it's hundreds of more in the city. Of course, I'm always promote my neighborhood first, though. I'm always promote my neighborhood first. But these are nice houses. I wouldn't promote nothing that's not nice. These are nice houses, and they really missed out on. And they really overlooked. They're nice, though. And by this being my neighborhood, I promise you that it's going to come up. And that's my word of the end that I'm doing. It's gonna come up.
Next time on We Live Here.
The central argument on the other side was that limited poor folks and disproportionately people of color's access to justice. What do you make of that?
I don't agree with that. I mean, in this case, if she had the money, which I suspect she didn't have the money. Mm-hmm. What difference does it make if she's paying her rent to the landlord or paying into the court registry?
Did you have any anticipation? I mean, you said it's a typical case that it would escalate to the level it escalated to.
Not at all.
We Live Here is produced by me, Tim Lloyd.
And me, Camille Stanley.
Alana Sistrunkt is our associate producer.
And Robert Peterson is our boss. He's the program director here at St. Louis Public Radio.
And from St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
From PR.